You're listening to Friggin' Fabulous Radio.
All right, Friggin' Fabulous Radio, this is Nick, and I'm here with a very special guest. Who is my special guest?
Oh, your special guest is the artist formerly known as Jennifer Saunders. If that name rings any bells, perhaps you were an HTG listener in, what, 96 through 99? I used to do the news with Mike.
Correct.
And I went by at the time Jennifer Saunders, but that persona is mothballed, shall we say. So I'm going to actually go by my real name today, which is Jessica.
And I had the distinct pleasure of working with Jessica / Jennifer Saunders at HTG for a while. So
yeah.
We go way back.
We do. I think, what, about 10 years now?
About that, yeah, which is very cool.
Very cool.
Okay, this is the top 25. It started as the top 10 best bass lines of all time, but we turned it in. There's just way too many great bass lines, so it's now the top 25. So we're going to count back from 25 here on Friggin' Fabulous Radio. What's our first one, Jess?
It is, my man Eric Clapton. This one is Crossroads by Cream. It was released on Wheels of Fire in 1968. Of course, the writer, Robert Johnson, and the bassist, who else? Jack Bruce.
Exactly. And like a lot of the bands back then, they pretty much, in homage to old black blues dudes, you know, from many years, turn of the century and through the 30s, they really loved those guys. So even the Beatles, the Stones, Cream, everybody, Zeppelin, pretty much copied and or ripped off old blues guys like Robert Johnson.
Oh, absolutely. And the funny thing now, of course, is Eric Clapton has had a resurgence doing all of those old blues songs now that he's, what, 800 years old?
Something like that.
There you go. This is number 25, Crossroads by Cream.
Clapton, please, above all.
Friggin' Fabulous Radio. All right, we're doing the top 25. That was Crossroads by Cream. And, of course, these are the top 25 best bass lines, and that was Jack Bruce on bass. We're moving on. That was a great way to start, even though we're starting from 25.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, we can't start with one and then go up to 25.
No.
Doesn't work that way. All right, so what's number 24, please?
Okay, 24, Love Song by The Damned. And it's a group that I always really liked. And I know a lot of people that are total Damned heads or Damned fans. I think they're fantastic, and they really don't get their due. But this is a great one. The writer, of course, was Captain Sensible, and the bass?
Algie Ward.
Algie Ward. It's not an everyday name, but...
No, it's not. Well, they were not your everyday band.
Exactly. And it was a great album title and cover, I think, Machine Gun Etiquette, which came out in 1979.
And here's a little tidbit about the album. You know, we probably should give a shout out. When we put the list together from all of the lovely votes, we went back and did some research. So a lot of what we got is from Wikipedia. So it may not be right. It may not be wrong. But there it is. So here's something we learned about the album, Machine Gun Etiquette. The Damned were actually recording at Wessex Studios at the same time The Clash were recording London Calling. How cool is that?
Amazing.
Joe Strummer and Mick Jones made an uncredited vocal appearance on the title track to the album.
Which is fantastic. And, well, The Clash is one of my probably top five favorite bands of all time.
Oh.
And we're going to get to them, too.
But, love them.
But did you know that Joe Strummer was originally a hippie?
Get out! No way.
He was, actually. He was like a total squatter hippie, and he saw the Sex Pistols and was totally enamored with them, and he said, I want to open up for the Sex Pistols. So he changed his image and made it into a punk band, and the rest is history.
Wow. Okay, so this is number 24 on our list of the top 25 best bass lines ever. It's Love Song by The Damned.
Ladies and gentlemen, how do?
Welcome back. This is Friggin' Fabulous Radio. No. Nick is here. I promise.
I'm here.
Good. I'm Jessica. I'm helping to count down the top 25 best bass lines ever. And that's the way I'm going to say it throughout this entire list. All right. So number 23 is actually a song from a movie. It was released on the soundtrack to the film Kids in 1995. It right. is Natural One by Folk Implosion. You probably know that Folk Implosion, I don't know, was it just sort of a whim side project?
Yeah, it was. Actually, Lou Barlow from Sebado, who originally started in Dinosaur Jr.
Right.
I'm a humongous Sebado fan. I've seen them several times.
Yes, you've burned me many a Sebado CD, actually.
Yes, and I met Lou Barlow.
Did you? Is he cool?
He is very cool, and I met him on the what he was calling the Ford Taurus Tour.
No, wait a minute. Hold the phone. You have to explain what that is.
Okay, well, I saw them maybe 3 years ago at North Six in Brooklyn, okay. this excellent club in Brooklyn. And it was basically him and Jason Lowenstein, the bass player from Sebado, and a drum machine. And they were calling themselves Sebado. And everyone was like, oh, that's cheesy, a drum machine. But it was more of a joke because they didn't end up really using it through the whole gig just to start out. But anyway, they didn't have a drummer. They didn't have a live drummer. And I asked him why they didn't have a live drummer while he was selling his own T-shirts and CDs. He said,
love that.
Because everything had to fit in the Ford Taurus. He goes, it's the Ford Taurus tour, man. He's like, he goes, we need gas economy. We're not making that much money on this tour, so...
That's brilliant. That is brilliant. Well, now let's actually talk about the film. Did you ever see Kits?
Yes, I did.
What was your impression of the film?
It was a long time ago, and
1995. So yes.
Yeah. Well, not that long ago, but
many beers ago.
Many beers ago. But I remember liking it, but not being overly touched by it. I guess I don't know. What was your impression?
Well, It was, I would say it was pretty startling more than anything else. And interestingly, there are cameos in it by people who have gone on, one of whom, and I know I'm going to say her name wrong, Chloe Sevigny.
I think that's correct.
Is that right? Oh, shoot. And Rosario Dawson, who they've both gone on to bigger and better things. This is 23, Natural One by Folk Implosion.
All right, Friggin' Fabulous Radio. This is Nick, and I'm here with Jessica.
Hello.
And that was Natural One by Folk Implosion. Jess, let's talk about how we came up with this list, because I know every time a list comes out in Rolling Stone or anywhere, everyone's always pissed off, like, oh, I wouldn't have voted that way.
Right,
guy's definitely not the best bass player, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my God, that sucks. That list sucks.
Yeah, give them a little history.
Well, here's the deal. So everyone was kind enough to write in and have their list of songs. And when I was doing, because I was your personal secretary for this project.
No, not my secretary.
Well, no. I was.
All the legwork. I didn't do shit, basically.
Yeah, but I love you anyway, so it's all right.
Right.
So when it came time to tabulate the votes, I actually came up with two lists. One were the songs themselves and how many votes each individual song got. But as I started to go through it, because the list of songs alone was huge,
indeed,
then I started to look at the bands, or i.e., you know, the musicians that were involved in it. And so then I started to keep a separate list of how many times that band was mentioned. For example, one of the ones, and I don't even know if I should give it away at this early stage, but I will anyway, Rush, for example. Rush didn't make actually our top 25, which, oh, and if there are any, I do believe it's Neil Peart.
Yes.
Is he the bassist?
No,
right?
Well, actually, Neil Peart is the drummer.
Oh, Geddy Lee, right?
Geddy Lee.
Okay, you see, I'm a big fan of Rush. In any case, so if there are any Geddy Lee fans, don't panic. The problem with Rush is the fact that there were about, I think, 7 songs that people chose. So it actually spread out over 7 songs, as opposed to one particular song that everyone went, yes, that's the one. So unfortunately, the way it fell, we just couldn't put it on the top 25. But we wanted to give a shout out to Rush anyway.
Exactly. And we wanted to be very mathematical about this and basically not let our own ideas of what's great. I mean, we're going to get to that later, but I mean, we want it to be totally on the level so that, you know, if you get pissed off, it's not our fault.
And where can they send complaints?
info@friggin'fabulousradio.com.
Yes. But just make sure you put Dear Nick on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, moving on. Shall we keep going?
Let's go.
Okay. Number 22, Pawn Shop by Sublime. Writer Bradley Knoll, bass Eric Wilson. And it's unfortunate. What I do know about Sublime, great band.
Indeed.
Unfortunately came to with the demise of Brad Knoll. I didn't know who Eric Wilson was. I mean, because I guess Sublime really isn't anything without Brad Knoll. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, obviously they were all amazing musicians, but it's just like when you think of the Doors, you think of Jim Morrison.
Right.
You know, it's that kind of thing.
Pawn Shop is from the album Sublime, and the eponymously titled CD from 1996. It was, here's another bit of trivia for you. It was originally intended to be called Killin' It, the album, that is.
Right.
Well, after Brad, they had a little change of heart there.
But this is truly one of my, when I first got this CD, when it came out, I listened to the whole thing and I was impressed, but when this song came on, I was like, this is it. This, mm-hmm. in my book, makes this band genius.
So it's number 22, Pawn Shop by Sublime.
Thank you.
just remember that it's flesh and bone.
Friggin' Fabulous Radio. We are thick into the top 25 best bass lines of all time.
Woo-hoo!
This is Nick, and I'm here with Jessica.
Hello.
And, okay, that was Pawn Shop by Sublime, as I was saying before, the song that made that band for me. We're going to move on now to, what are we moving on to now, Jess?
Number 21. This one, it's funny. Pawn Shop from 1996, we are jumping all the way back to 1971. And, you know, and I just have to say, as a side note, there are a lot of songs from the 70s on this list. What is it about the 70s and bass players?
I don't know, but there were some great ones. It was just a very, it sounds cliche, but it was perhaps the most creative period in rock history, I think, overall.
Ooh.
I know that's a big statement, and I'm not a classic rock kind of a guy, but Family Affair, Sly and the Family Stones, Stevie Wonder. There were so many bands that were doing things that no one ever did before, which I think is amazing.
Yeah, I agree. Well, now that you mention it, number 21 is Family Affair by Sly and the Family Stone. This song was actually pretty much the brainchild of Sly Stone. He wrote it. He actually played the bass on it. Surprisingly
Correct.
Enough. He didn't have the Family Stone for the recording. He also enlisted friends, Billy Preston, Bobby Womack, and Sly played the bass, and he programmed the rhythm box. Rocket.
Amazing.
It's from the album, 1971, called There's a Riot Going On.
They were great. I had this album on cassette. And
oh, get out! You're showing your age, man.
I'm dating myself. In fact, I had it for years. It was one of those cassettes I made when I was fairly young, and I had it through high school. And it actually melted on my dashboard. And some of you people might not be old enough to have ever experienced this phenomenon, but it was like 100 degrees one day. And I left the cassette out of the little plastic case
right.
on the dashboard, and it actually melted into my dashboard. That's how hot it was.
Like, wow.
The tape actually melted, and it melted into my dashboard.
Wow. So you had Sly sculpture.
So exactly. If you're going to have a tape melt into your dashboard, then, you know.
That would definitely be the one. That
exactly.
Would be it. That would be it. So this is number 21, Family Affair by Sly and the Family Stone.
Somebody that just loves to learn, and another child grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves the both of them, you see it's in the blood. Both kids are good and bomb. Thicker than the mud, it's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
What a bear. What a bear. Still checking each other out. Hey, nobody wants to blow. Nobody wants to be left out. You can't leave cause your heart is there. But you can't stay cause you've been somewhere else. You can't cry cause you look broke down. But you're crying anyway cause you're all broke down. It's a family affair. It's a family affair. Oh, yeah, family affair.
It's a family affair. It's a family affair.
That was number 21, Family Affair by Sly and the Family Stone. This is Friggin' Fabulous Radio. I'm Jessica. I'm here with Nick.
Yeah, it is Friggin' Fabulous. We're having a Friggin' Fabulous time, too.
We are. We are. And it's alcohol-free. Damn it.
Yeah, so far anyway.
So far anyway. Exactly. So now on to number 20. This is a guy that I just find him really fascinating and interesting because he's done so many different musical genres and he's just been around for a long time. And I don't know, there's a sort of bright shininess to him that I really like. It's number 20, Joe Jackson. You can't get what you want till you know what you want.
And of course, it's a Graham Mambie on bass. Yeah, Joe Jackson is a genius. I've seen him many times from the early days when he was on stage, like looking like a screaming punk, to his more classical period, and then kind of the more recent stage. And
I bet he gives a great live show.
Oh, he's amazing. And of course, he always surrounds himself with the best musicians, like Graham Mabey and Vinny Zumo was his guitarist for a while, who was amazing.
I don't know much about Graham Mabey.
Oh, he's played with Elvis Costello. He's like kind of a session guy that gets around.
All right, so this is number 20. You can't get what you want till you know what you want. By Joe Jackson. It's from the album, I don't think we mentioned that, it's on the album Body and Soul from 1984.
Friggin' Fabulous Radio. That was You Can't Get What You Want Till You Know What You Want by Joe Jackson off Body and Soul, which was a fantastic album. And we're going to move on now, actually. This is a bit of a jump, I guess, from You Can't Get What You Want Till You Know What You Want to Primus, Jerry Was a Race Car Driver.
Yes.
Off one of the coolest album titles ever.
Yes.
Came out in 1991, Sailing the Seas of Cheese.
And, love it. And of course, it's Les Claypool,
who is amazing. Besides being very quirky and a brilliant songwriter, he is one of the best bass players.
Yes, yes. And, now, I've seen Les Claypool live, and I saw it. Okay, now I'm going back. Since you're regaling us with all your concert stories, I'll add one.
Yay.
This one, it was actually in Asbury Park at the Asbury Convention Center, which has the world's worst acoustics.
Indeed.
It's just dreadful. But to see and hear, I mean, I wish I could have eliminated everything else but his bass, because it was just bass and man as one, as one thing. It was awesome.
Jerry Was a Race Car Driver. It's funny. There's a bunch of songs. Basically, you could have picked any song off that album as one of the best bass lines, like Tommy the Cat, which features Tom Waits, which, of course, is my
Love
favorite.
Him. Yes.
And this is Jerry Was a Race Car Driver by Primus.
Yeah.
And that was number 19. Jerry was a race car driver by Primus. You are listening to Friggin' Fabulous Radio. I'm Jessica. I'm sitting here with my pal Nick. Hi, Nick.
Yes. Hey.
And we are doing the top 25 best bass lines ever. As voted by you all.
Exactly. And you guys.
And, well, no, we both had some votes, too.
We voted. We put our votes in, too.
Are you kidding? Of course we did. And we'll get to those later.
Yeah.
Now on to number 18. This is, this is just ultimately classic, right? From 1973. Is it still, like, the best-selling album in ever?
I think so. Pretty much has been since it came out.
Okay. It is, of course. The Dark Side of the Moon, and it's Money by, of course, Pink Floyd. Let's see. Written by Roger Waters, and of course, there's the bassist, Roger Waters.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most memorable bass lines, of course, of all time, I would say. I don't think anybody would argue with Pink Floyd as being a brilliant band. I mean, that's the interesting thing about Pink Floyd. There are basically two bands that every generation of teenage boys that smoke a lot of pot get into. And it's Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin. It's like almost a rite of passage.
Wait, why are you limiting it to teenage boys?
Okay, no.
All right, so the teenagers that smoke pot.
Right. Well, I didn't mean to exclude women, but I'm saying that women have, or girls at that age, I think, have a more diverse palate as far as music goes. But boys seem to play Dark Side of the Moon and like Led Zeppelin 3 100 billion times, whereas a girl might be into something more ethereal and more intelligent. Not more intelligent, but wide ranging. I wasn't dissing girls. I was just saying that.
Yeah, nice backpedal, babe.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Interestingly, I mean, this album is fascinating to me, just its longevity. Now, I know, I have an older brother and an older sister. And from the two of them, I have a brother who's 8 years older than me and a sister who's 6 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were hitting, you know, the teenage years and all that stuff when I was fairly small. And so they, of course, played a lot of loud music in the house because, you know, it's in the genetic makeup of teenagers that you have to do that. And so I was exposed to, I mean, one of my favorite albums of all time, and this will show you how old I am, is Made in Japan by Deep Purple. All-time favorite albums.
Fantastic.
Which was introduced to me by my brother, because he used to play it all the time. So that was kind of the stuff that I grew up with. And then my sister was a huge Beatles fan, so I became a huge Beatles fan. And then, so is part of the longevity of Dark Side of the Moon the fact that each generation, that it appeals to, I guess, a certain slice of each generation that they keep listening to it, and it just gets sort of passed generation to generation?
I think so, but I think it also has to do with where your head is at that particular time in your life. Mm-hmm. Because this is a very, it's a very nice and trippy album. You know, a lot of people say that, but basically there's a lot of political statements on this album. And when you're young and you're liberal and you're pissed and you're, you know, basically you're starting to get pissed off at the world when you're in your teens. Yeah. So I think teenagers can relate to this. I'm not saying that, you can't relate to it now, but, you know, you're pretty much raw hormones and raw emotion when you're a teenager. So it makes a lot of sense. You know, Pink Floyd, especially this album.
Yeah. Have you ever done that trick with The Wizard of Oz?
I started to do it once, but I couldn't do the whole thing.
Because you were too high.
Probably.
Oh, and speaking of that, there's a band called Easy Star All Stars, and they released an album in 2003 called Dub Side of the Moon, which I've got to get, because you've heard it, right?
Yes, it's fantastic.
And they have their own sort of treatment on Money, don't they?
It's very interesting. And we're not condoning this.
No, never.
Of course, in the Pink Floyd version, you have the cash register. You hear the cash register opening, then the change being put in, and it's like on an endless loop. And it's a little different, basically, for the dub version, if you want to call it that. It's basically bong hits. So you hear the lighter, and then you hear the toke and the exhale, and that's what runs through the background of the song. And it's a great version.
And that's why I've got to get it.
Yeah.
Not that we're condoning anything. This is number 18, Money by Pink Floyd.
gas. Grab that cash with both hands and make a stash. Get back. I'm on.
certainly was in the right.
Yes, definitely. I guess he was cruising for bruising.